If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, we start with verse 11 where we left off. But since it's been a little bit, a review is always in order. Repetition is the key to learning. The key to learning is repetition. And the reason why there's such bad theology in the pulpits is because there's bad preachers. I'm not saying I'm a good preacher. I'm just saying there are bad preachers. They don't stick to the Word. They do everything but. But we're called to preach the Word. I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to preach what God said. Let's review. The book of Ephesians is dealing with one thing. And that one thing is, begins with a C. What is it? Church. Take five off if you got that wrong. The calling of the church. What is the church? Church is a building, true or false? It is false. That's another thing. When they Google the most beautiful church, you will see buildings. Those are buildings! And then religious people spend millions of dollars to make a building and call it a church. And that's because I blame it on preachers. They don't preach the Word of God. So they then preach that the church is a building. The church is people. It's an assembly that follows Jesus. And it's every one of you who make up the individual bricks of the church. This is the local expression of the church. The church is every true believer everywhere who meets in worship to Jesus. Therefore, we're just a localized expression, a small bit of the big church. And all of those buildings that you heat and air condition are buildings. They're not the church. That's why if we should have an earthquake this week, and the roof collapsed, guess what? The church was never hurt. The building fell. As long as you're safe and you're not injured, the individual bricks of the spiritual house, the church is a spiritual house of people. The church is safe. That's why we have to be very careful when we're not nice to each other. If we're nasty with each other, there you can hurt the church. But you can't hurt it if you spill coffee. Can't hurt it if you have donuts. And this is in the sanctuary. I keep saying that because I got to get that through. Where's Pastor? He's in the sanctuary. There's nothing holy about this. We could put Awana in here if we want. Put an Awana circle here. Play basketball. There's nothing holy. This is not a temple. There are no more temples. Jesus said to that woman, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you won't need any temple. You'll worship in spirit and truth," that we're the individual bricks. And that means also another thing, the call of the church is very high. We found out, guess what, before the foundation of the world, Gentiles were also God's chosen people. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Do you realize how radical that thinking was? Here is a Jewish man who was a rabbi who was teaching his people at one time that the only chosen people are those who follow the Mosaic law and are related to Abraham physically. And when Jesus came and put the new covenant in, we found out that it had nothing to do with physical lineage, that that was merely a type of what Jesus Christ would do in the new covenant and unite us all. And I just don't like it when people will see pictures of the Wailing Wall and they'll see the yarmulkes on and people are going like this. You ever seen that? And they say, look, there's the chosen people praying. If they don't believe in Jesus, guess what? I got to get that into your mind. You in Christ are chosen. Now I'm going to shock you. You know me, I love to shock in my preaching. Some of you go to sleep, so I got a shock. Do you know why they rock like this? Do you know why? How many of you know why? Well, because I've told my Sunday school. I got to get very personal now. How many have ever heard this word, Shekinah glory, Shekinah? Did you know that word doesn't occur in the Old Testament? What, Pastor Dave? Well, I heard my preacher talk about the Shekinah glory leaving the temple in Ezekiel. Never occurred in Ezekiel, the word. The word Shekinah is a Kabbalistic term, Kabbalah. You know, Madonna and the red, protective red little thing around there? That's a Kabbalistic term. It is not in the Old Testament Hebrew. Here is what Judaism taught. When they rejected their Messiah, as they got further and further away from Jesus, the true Messiah, they began to teach, and this is true, look it up, if you think Pastor Dave has lost his ever-loving mind, they began to teach. I have lost my ever-loving mind, but that's another thing. They began to teach that God is not one, but many. Well, wait a second, Dave, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Echad versus Yachid. Throw a little Hebrew out at you so you don't think I've lost my ever-loving mind. Nobody will ever remember that. Well, guess what? As time went on in the Middle Ages, they began to teach that God had many parts and that, listen now, this is the truth, Kabbalistic Judaism teaches that God is both male and female. And the female part of God is called, are you ready? Shekinah. Because in Hebrew, the ah is feminine. And they teach now, and I listen to the Jewish television. I tape record these programs because I'm learning. You know I study this. And they teach that God not only is male but feminine. And then they go to the Wailing Wall. And they rock back and forth with the yarmulke. Do you know why they're rocking back and forth? You're all thinking, is that precious? They're praying. Do you know why they're rocking back and forth? They are having relations with the Shekinah glory of God. Now, when you back away from God, that's the depth of depravity of what they do. Now, I don't hate him, but the Bible teaches that unless you're in Jesus Christ, you are not chosen, and they're not praying to God, whatever God they're praying to. Why did everybody look over there? Ooh, spooky. You know Pastor Dave, he's stirring it up. And I don't think I caused that wind from all of my preaching, but I am a windbag in many senses. They teach that God is more feminine, and they got it from, if you really want to know the truth. Did that door do something? Kabbalah. That's what this is all about. That's what they're into. By the way, just want to let you know that in the 17th century, there was a man named Sabbat Zvi, and that half the Jewish population of upwards of 2 million followed him as the Messiah in the Middle Ages. They rejected the Savior, and they followed Sabbatai Zvi, who taught them all sorts of evil practices of complete rejection of the Mosaic Law. I always find it interesting that you will reject the Savior and follow someone with the depravity of Sabbat Zvi. You have no idea what's going on. You're chosen in Christ, and there is only one chosen people. It is Jesus' church that has both Jew and Gentile in it. We then went, we saw how that God saved us by His grace. For by grace you have been saved. You can't earn it. Jesus Christ paid the penalty, the full price. When Jesus Christ on the cross said, "It is finished," did you know that that term was a term used to say on bills that were owed in that day? Paid in full. when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that was a way that they would put the same word was used when you have a bill. And when you pay, I'll never forget when I paid off my student loans. What an addiction. And then I got, after years, there was that stamp. Paid in full. That's what Jesus Christ did. Every one of your sins He took upon the cross. And you've become His workmanship, His piece of pottery. Remember that? And He's molding us into one image. One image is Christ molding you into. I don't want you to be like some famous person in church history. Jesus doesn't want you to be like some famous. We'll celebrate the 500th year of the Reformation. Well, I don't want you to be like Luther. I don't want you to be like Calvin. You name the church history person. You're to be like Jesus Christ in His image. Be like Jesus. Being conformed to Him. Wait till we get to that place in Ephesians where the preacher's job is to conform people to the image of Jesus Christ. But what do I hear from churches? I hear all about the preacher rather than the Savior. Preachers are mere instruments of conveying to God's people to be like the Savior. So we're His workmanship. That brings us up today, continuing on in 2:11. 2:11. Paul says, after he's told us we're saved by grace and we're His workmanship, he says, therefore. Do you see that in your Bible? Why is the therefore, therefore, the old preachers used to say? Because he's drawing a conclusion from 2:1-10. He's told you God took you out of this fallen world, saved you by His grace, made you His workmanship. Now, therefore, remember. Look at the word remember. See that word? You know what that word says? Always keep this in mind. Always. You know what people remember most about Christmas? What do you remember most about Christmas? Fireplace, wreaths, gifts. This is what happens when we don't study the Word of God. We are to remember what we were before Jesus Christ made us His chosen. Always keep in mind what? Remember that you formerly were dogs in the flesh. Do you know what? The chosen people that used to be chosen but are no longer, that have rejected Jesus as Messiah, they used to call and still do call Gentiles, are you ready? Dogs. You see, God never intended for the precious Jewish people to consider Gentiles dogs. He chose them to proclaim the excellencies of God's glorious grace, and instead, they began to look down on other people. Don't Christians do that? I think Christians have gotten just as bad. Jesus was a friend of sinners. We should be friends of sinners. They began to look down on other people. They began to isolate themselves in local towns, have nothing to do. They were too good for everybody. And don't touch them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Oh, don't touch them, or you'll be defiled. Don't touch who? Us. Us dogs. That's not how God intended it. And so He's reminding all of us how we were viewed. Remember formerly, you dogs, you Gentiles, in the flesh. By the way, it's in the flesh, isn't it? You see, the flesh was merely a type of what God would do in His through His Spirit. Who are called what? Boy, that is a derogatory term. Bunch of uncircumcised dogs. But don't we view Come on, as Christians, let's be honest. Don't we view sinners the same way? We shouldn't. What separates us from the sinner? God's saving grace. Christians have become like this, holier than thou, thinking they're so good. No, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've seen Christians that if that was true Christianity, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with it. Nasty. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He'd go to Pharisees. He would go to Pharisees' houses, self-righteous. He would go to tax collectors. He would eat with people who were not very morally upright. He let them know he accepted them. You think the church does that today? It's because we're not preaching the word. You who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. By the way, if you weren't Jewish, let me remind you. If you weren't Jewish, this is my, I should have put this up on the thing, but this is my picture of the temple. You have to use binoculars to see this, but let me tell you how literal Paul is here. If you went to the temple in Jerusalem back in Jesus' day, you as a Gentile wouldn't get near it. All of you that get so excited about the Jews building a temple in Jerusalem, first of all, Hebrews rules it out. Second, you wouldn't get near it as a Gentile. Why? Because there was this huge wall that surrounded the temple. Huge. Heavy duty. Guess what? As a Gentile, you could get up to that wall. It was called the court of the Gentiles. But if you dare, as a Gentile, try to get inside that wall, you know what would happen to you? Now, a nation that was to be a light to the Gentiles sure got it crazy, didn't they? So if they build one in the Middle East, guess what? There'll be a court of the Gentiles, but unless you convert, you ain't going inside. That's not what Jesus did. And by the way, ladies, the Jewish ladies, you got to go inside that wall. Woo, glory. You, as a Jewish lady, would get to go inside that wall. You'd get to go into the court of women. And you were here, but over here is where the temple was, the altar and the Holy of Holies. And if you women crossed over to the other side to go into the Holy of Holies and the holy place, guess what would happen even to Jewish ladies? Your husband would beat you. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ changed this? So here is what Paul is saying. Remember that you were at that time separated from Messiah. All right, that's the first thing. Before Jesus Christ came and formed his body, the church, what's the first thing you were? Separated from what? From whom? Messiah. See, when you see the word Christ, you should use the word Messiah, Mashiach, because he was the anointed one, promised to come. So the first thing you were was separated as a Gentile from the Jewish Messiah. What does it say? You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. What's the commonwealth? The nation. In order to be a part of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, what did you have to become? Well, for men, circumcised, get under the law. So you were separated from the Jewish Messiah, and you were separated from the nation of Israel. Yes? By the way, have you ever read the parable of the Good Samaritan? in Luke 10. Do you know how much Jesus was a nudge? Nudge is a Yiddish term for he liked to poke, because Jesus didn't like the way his people had become. They had become exclusive. They were excluding people. They weren't the light to the world. They were self-righteous, just like the church has become in many ports. Where was I? Commonwealth of Israel. What was I talking about? Huh? Nudge. Yeah, I remember that. Now I lost where I was going. It happens to me every once in a while. The Good Samaritan. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you realize how much Jesus was a nudge? In Jewish thinking, by the way, do you know who the Samaritans were? They were half Jews, half Gentiles. Formed in 722 BC when the Assyrians took the 10 northern tribes out, left some of the poor of the 10, and Gentiles intermingled, and they were half Jewish, half Gentile. And here's what happened in Israel's history. By the way, the Gaza Strip is not new. The Gaza Strip has been in Israel since 722, when the Palestinians used to be called Samaritans, and the Jews and Samaritans would kill each other. Have you seen that in the Gaza Strip? Do you know why that's like that today? Because the gospel's light has not been brought to those precious people. And a Jew, it said, would rather kill a Samaritan, and a Samaritan would rather kill a Jew. That's been around since 722 BC. But you see, Jesus Christ brought us together. And it said we were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were not a part of it. You were excluded from Christ, separated from the nation of Israel. What's the next thing we were separated from? Strangers of the covenants of promise. What are the covenants of promise? The Abrahamic covenant. The Davidic covenant. That Messiah Jesus would come. Guess what? Before Christ, Gentiles had no participation in that. But the blessings of Abraham. Remember when we preached through Galatians? What did Paul say? That through Jesus Messiah, the blessings of Abraham came to whom? To the Gentiles. Because through Jesus, Jew and Gentile become the true people of God. So all the blessings of Abraham, not some, but all, come to you through Jesus Christ. Then it says this, without hope, without God in this world. Now that's what you were before Jesus Christ. Tell me the things you were afar off from. Tell, Delina, come on, give it to me. What are you far off from? You were far off from what? Christ? What else? The nation of Israel? What else? The covenants of promise? What else? No hope and no God. Now watch what Jesus Christ in the new covenant did when he pronounced it is finished. Watch this in verse 11. But now what? Now that Jesus Christ has done what he did. But now in Christ Jesus, by the way, in Christ Jesus means if you're not in Christ, guess what? It doesn't work. It has to be in Christ. You can rock in front of the Wailing Wall all you want and tell the Shekinah, whatever that is, how much you love it. It's no such thing. But in Christ Jesus, you who are formerly afar off have been brought near. Now, here's the question I ask Christians. Because you've been tainted by theology, what have you been brought near to? Tell me. Tell me. Delineate them.
Messiah.
Ha ha ha. Did you see what you've been brought near to? You look in the Middle East and you see there's Israel, the chosen people, and you haven't read Ephesians. If they don't believe in Jesus, Jew or Gentile, not in Jesus, they are not near the commonwealth of Israel. They are not near the Messiah. They are not near the promises of blessing. Listen to me, in Jesus Christ, listen to me, you Gentiles are now brought near to Messiah Jesus, the commonwealth of Israel. You know what Israel is? true people of God. You didn't know it. Paul says a true Jew is not one that's on the outside. Guess what? A true Jew is on the inside. See how the Bible destroys study Bible notes? Now, you can scold me. Anybody want to get up and say, hey, Dave, you know, my study Bible notes with the name of the preacher on the front of it says this. I don't give a rip. Here's what the Word says. You were brought near. Who then is near Messiah, near the nation of Israel, near the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants, near God and with hope? Who is it? Only those in Christ. Now fight me if that's been wrong in my theology. But what are we told? We're told that people that do not respond to Messiah Jesus. You know what I find the great irony? I find it a delicious irony. And I'm going to pick on Al, Nancy. Al, as an Egyptian, born in Egypt, is part of the true people of God. And the people that say they're part of the people of God are not. And he is an Egyptian, are actually part of God's chosen people. What? How God does things. How God does things. Next time you see the mirror, thank God that through Jesus in Christ, you've been brought near what? You've been brought near to Messiah. You've been brought near to the nation of Israel. You've been brought fully into the covenants of promise. You have hope and you have God. And without Christ, you ain't got it. And that's the bottom line. It's in Jesus. And that's what he's saying. Isn't it amazing what God can do? Now here's what we need to do as a church. We need to be merciful to sinners. We shouldn't get like the nation of Israel where we're self-righteous, where we think that we're the good people that are chosen and become frozen and all the unsaved. We need to see everyone in need of Jesus Christ and have a hunger for souls so that they can be brought in to this. And that Filipinos, Egyptians, and even people from Florida can become a part of God's chosen people. Just think of God's grace in allowing Floridians to do that. I'm only teasing you, Mark. But now in Christ Jesus, where does this take place, everybody? In Christ Jesus. You who were formerly way out of there have been brought near. So if they build a temple in Jerusalem and they say, you can't go in, guess what? Completely false. And yet you won't be able to get in because they are under the old covenant and not under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And frankly, I wouldn't want to go there anyway. If you don't worship my Savior, I won't hate you, but I'm not going to participate with you. And you're part of the true temple. God does it. When God does things, he does things marvelously. You're not a building, a physical building. You're the true people of God, filled with God's Spirit, consisting of the bricks of the temple. Look at that. Look at this. We've been brought near to all of those things by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he pronounced that it is finished, and Jesus said, I have sheep who are not of this flock, here's what Jesus does. He takes Jew who believe in him and Gentile who believe in him, and through the new covenant make them one. And nothing will replace the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not a parenthesis. The body of Christ, forever in eternity, will be his workmanship to display the glory of God. Of what Jesus Christ has done in uniting us as one in the true people of God. That's what he's done. He brought us near, and look what it says. He made both groups. What groups? Jew, Gentile. Groucho Marx said, I'd never belong to a club that would have me as a member. But he took both groups. And look what it says. He broke down the barrier of the what? Now, he's literally talking about this temple. When they put up the second temple of Herod, guess what they did? They put a wall around it. And they said, you dirty, stinking dog Gentiles, don't come in. Until you become a good Jew, get under the law of Moses, get circumcised. As a matter of fact, you're too much of dogs to even become a part of that. Here's what Jesus Christ did. He marched in. Remember when the veil was ripped in two? He took that dividing wall and he said, never will that be ever again. I will unite all, both Jew and Gentile, into one. And he destroyed that wall. If they try to put up that wall, God will not accept it. So he's not only talking about a barrier that was there, racial division and hatred, but he's literally talking about Jesus Christ said, no more! I will unite them in Messiah Jesus. God is a uniter. He's not a divider. He unites. By abolishing in his flesh, verse 15, the hostility that the law caused, that he himself might make the two, who's the two? Into one new, and the man should be probably translated person. Do you see two separate groups? Do you see Jews and Gentiles? Do you do that? You shouldn't. We've been united. And yet that's what we do because some of the preachers that have preached haven't preached God's word. One new person. They are united. No wonder Paul said there's neither male nor free, bond nor slave. They are all in Jesus Christ as one. Establishing what? You know why he said the establishing peace? You know what had happened? If a Samaritan walked into Jewish territory, they'd kill him. You know what happened if a Jew walked into Samaritan territory? They'd kill him. What was the dividing wall? Racial hatred. I love John in Luke chapter 9. We're going to get there in the Sunday school. They go through the village. He had to go, it says, through Samaria. And the Samaritans wouldn't receive Jesus. So John and James, the sons of what? Thunder! Boy, they were really strapping fishermen with booming voices. That's why he called them sons of thunder, man. They were always. And when the Samaritans wouldn't receive it, James and John come up to Jesus and said, Jesus, I have a good idea. These dirty, stinking Samaritans wouldn't let us through their area. Let's do this. Let's call fire down from heaven and let's nuke them, Lord. Let's barbecue them. You see, that's what the law did. That's what the Jews began to think. God didn't have that in mind. And what did Jesus say in Luke 9, 49 through 51? Well, James and John, that's a good idea. Let's barbecue them. You know what Jesus said? The only time Jesus rebuked were fundamentalists that got rebuked. Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. And he would say so often, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. And he loved them because he was going to make Jew and non-Jew into the true body of Christ, which is called the... And we now know that the Bible says that the church ain't no building, it is a what? People. So the next time you want to tell brother so-and-so off, or sister such-and-such, how dare you have that cup of coffee in the church, don't harm the church. Because it's it's a spiritual organism of people, not of bricks and mortar. So what has God done? In the new covenant that we celebrate at Christmas time, He's united the true people of God into one group and blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And He did this from all eternity.